الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الم يجدك يتيما فآوى سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Today is 12th of Rabi al-Awwal, a sacred month, a sacred day on which our beloved Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. Now, on this day everyone is happy because it is the birthday of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, our mashayikh, they hold on meetings, they make speeches on this day so that people should listen to these speeches and try to follow the sunnah of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the love of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should increase in their hearts. So these bayanat, these speeches are very important. So my today's topic is the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I would like to explain it today in the form of a story, so that you should remember this story and try to deliver it to your children, to your husband, to your colleagues, to your friends, so that every person of this ummah must remember this story and everyone should know that how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born and what respect he got in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in our houses we have seen that the medication for the children, if it is a syrup bottle, then on the bottle it is written, shake well before use. The reason is that when the bottle is placed somewhere, then some of the juice contents, syrup contents, they settle down on the bottom. So if you want to use it again, you have to make this juice homogeneous, and then it will be more effective. So if you want that syrup should be more effective, you have to shake it well. Keeping this example in view, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the same sunnah. When He wants to give some prize, some bounty to someone, so He shakes the person well before giving this bounty to him. For example, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the prophet, the beloved Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he got a very high position, high rank in the prophets. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran, وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, that you should remember that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala examined Ibrahim in few things. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, and he succeeded 100%, 100% succeeded. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my Khalil, I will make you the Imam of all the human beings. So, to get this position, Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested before this. And when he proved in his test that he was steadfast and faithful, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the rank Imam al-Nas, Similarly, when Rasulullah was born in this world, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put three of the grandparents into test. Who were those three? The grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the mother of Rasulullah. So these three personalities were examined and put into test, hardships. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now how the grandfather was put into test? His name was Shayba. Why he was called Shayba? The reason is that when he was born, some of the hairs of the head, they were white. So the white haired person is called Shayba or elderly person. So this boy, although he was a boy, but still his name was Shayba due to these white hairs. Not all the hairs were white, but a bunch of hair in the head, they were white. So the name was Shayba. But this Shayba became an orphan in his early age. And the mother, she took Shayba with her and she moved to her parents' house, which was in Medina Tayyiba. So she came from Makkah to Medina. Now Shayba was being brought up by her mother, by his mother, in Medina Tayyiba. He used to play sometimes with his age fellows. So one day he was having a competition of throwing arrow to the target. So one person, he was from Makkah Mukarrama and he visited Medina Tayyiba. He saw this competition and he found that a young man, he just puts his arrow on his right of target, and then he feels very happy that my arrow has hit the target. And he says, oh, you know, I am from a very big family and it suits me that my arrow should always hit the target. So this person asked the people, who is this, from which family he is? This person, they said that he is from the Quraysh family, but his father has died. So the mother came back to the parents' house in Medina. So he is from really a big family, but his economic condition of the mother is not good. So he is being brought up in very minimal resources. So, but he still remembers his grandparents and his family, that he is from a very significant family. Now this person, he was the friend of the uncle of Shayba. When he went back to Makkah Mukarrama, he talked to his friend and he said, oh, your brother's son is being brought up by the mother in Medina Tayyiba, but the economic conditions are very bad, very bad. They have nothing to eat and drink. And the child is not being brought up properly. You are from such a big family, you are well off people. Why you don't bring that child towards you in your own custody so that he should live in Makkah and he should have good economic conditions and he should have a good family? So he should be brought up as a big personality in Makkah Mukarrama. So the uncle of Shayba, he swore in the name of Allah, okay, I will go and I will bring my nephew back to my home. He went to Medina Tayyiba and he talked to the mother of Shayba and the family members of Shayba and told them that he is the son of my brother, so please give him in my control. I will bring him up in Makkah Mukarrama. The economic conditions are very good. He will have good food, good nutrition, so his growth will be very good. And then we are very high position in the society. So mentally and emotionally, he will also grow up very good. So they agreed and they sent Shaiba with his uncle. So the uncle, he told Shaiba to sit down on the back of the horse and he came to Makkah Mukarrama. When he was entering the city of Makkah Mukarrama, one of his friends saw that the uncle has brought some young boy. He thought in his mind that he might be a slave, because in that time people used to get slaves for their homework and keep them in their houses. So that person, he said that Muttalib brought a slave. So he named him Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib word means the slave of Muttalib. Now this Shaiba was not the slave of Muttalib, he was the nephew of Muttalib. But as the person said, the slave of Muttalib, so his name became Abdul Muttalib. So in this way, the grandfather of Rasulullah ﷺ got the name Abdul Muttalib. Now this young boy was very sharp, had a very high Q level. His decision power was very good. He used to understand quickly the depths of the matter and make a very good decision. So when he got the chance to stay in the family in Makkah Mukarrama, so he made so good decisions that people, they were amazed. And all of them, they said to the family members that he is the one who should be leader of your family. So in this way, Abdul Muttalib became the leading personality of the family. And people, they unanimously gave him the keys of the door of Kaaba and said that you should keep these keys with you so that you are the in charge of opening the doors of Kaaba and shutting the doors of Kaaba. So in this way, Abdul Muttalib, he got the keys of Baitullah and he got a very good position in the society. Abdul Muttalib had 10 boys, 10 children. So once he was told that there was a well called Zamzam near Baitullah and people used to get water from that well, but nowadays that well has been closed by people. They put a big rock on the well and the water could not be taken from the well. Now where is the well, no one knew. Abdul Muttalib decided, okay, I will try to trace the well. So if I will open the well, people will get water to eat, to drink and to use, and they will stay near the house of Allah. So Abdul Muttalib, he used to dig the ground from this place, from that place. Every day he used to dig the ground from a new point. People used to see Abdul Muttalib that he was sweating and he was still hammering the rock to break them. They used to feel that he is a fool person, wasting his time. Day and night he is breaking the rocks, but he is not getting the water. But Abdul Muttalib never gave up. He continued the search of the Zamzam water. And he made dua, oh, if I will get the water of Zamzam, so I sacrifice on your name one of my sons. I have 10 sons out of 10. I will sacrifice one son in name. So, by the verse of Mantara, Abdul Muttalib raised the well Zamzam, and the water came out of well, and people, they used it, and were very happy that water was near the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Abdul Muttalib became the leader of family. He had the keys of Baitullah, and second, he traced the well and provided water to the whole community, to the native tribe, so they were indebted to him. So, then Abdul Muttalib, he traced the water of Zamzam, then he thought that he should fulfill his condition that he said that he will sacrifice one of his son in the parala. No, he had 10 sons. Who should be sacrificed? So he wrote the names of all people on a paper and then picked them. When he picked one of them, then the name of the son was Abdullah. Now Abdullah was the most beautiful son out of these 10, and Abdul Muttalib loved him very much. But it was the outcome of that of the piece of paper that Abdullah had sacrificed in the name of Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So when Abdul Muttalib died, he sacrificed Abdullah in the name of Allah. But one person talked to him, "You know your son is so good, so beautiful, so mature, so talented, has a very high level. Why don't you sacrifice him in the name of Allah? Sacrifice camels in lieu of him." So Abdul Muttalib said, "How I can sacrifice camels?" He said that you should make a choice whether you should do Abdullah or sacrifice camels. And then go on and bring the camel until you get the name of the camels. So this way Abdul Muttalib, he decided that he will sacrifice 10 camels or he should sacrifice Abdullah. And then he had picked up a piece of paper and the name of Abdullah was there. Then he had an intention, should I sacrifice Abdullah or should I sacrifice 20 animals? Again it was the name of Abdullah. So in this way, he went on increasing the number of the camels until when he made new intention that I will sacrifice 10 camels in the name of Allah or should I sacrifice Abdullah. So when the small pieces of paper were picked, it was the name of the camels. So he decided that I will sacrifice 100 camels in lieu of Abdullah. So in this way, Abdullah, he became the Abdullah, a person who was sacrificed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Abdullah, when he began, he was a very beautiful man. He had such a glowing face that any person used him, so he loved him. Most of the women of Makkah, they used to look at his face and they used to have an ambition in their heart that if I could be married with this young man, how beautiful. Every woman in Makkah was prepared to get married with Abdullah. But Abdullah, he was a very good man. So one woman rejected Abdullah. "I want to marry you." He said, "Look, my elders are there, so they will decide my proposal. So I want to communicate directly." So Abdullah refused to communicate directly with this woman. Then one day, Abdullah, he decided that Abdullah is now grown up, he's almost 18 years old, so he should get married. So he brought him to Medina Tayyiba, because Medina Tayyiba was a tribe, Banu Zuhra, and they were very respected people and good people. Abdul Muttalib wanted that I should get some proposal for his family, because the women of this family, they are very good women, having good morale, good etiquettes, good habits. So he took a girl from this tribe for his son. So one girl name was Amina. Abdul Muttalib came to know that she was very good woman. She had good habits. So Abdul Muttalib proposed her for his son. And the people accepted that Abdullah was married Amina. Now on which Amina was brought to his husband's house in Makkah Mukarramah. So Amina was 16 years at the time of marriage and Abdullah was 18 years old. So the dependent family, they stayed very happy in the early time of marriage. But after a few months, some people from Makkah, they went to Syria on a business trip. At time, it is difficult for people to travel alone. So people used to travel in groups. A group of businessmen, they were traveling from Makkah to Syria. Abu Muttalib told Abdullah that if you also make this business trip, then there is some profit and it will be easy for us to take care of expenses. So Abdullah had to go for the business trip. But right after marriage, just after a few months, separate from his wife for few months, and it was hard. These days of marriage, the couple want to have a honeymoon trip. But here, Abdullah had leave for a business trip. And this trip was not 1 day trip, or 1 week trip, or 1 month trip. No. People, you travel from Makkah to Syria, and it take them maybe 2 to 3 months on one side, and 2 to 3 months on the other side. So it means that they will return after 6 or 8 months. Now this was a very heavy time for Anna. They had to stay alone, and husband had for the business trip. So when the day came, Abdullah wanted to leave. Abdullah was also very emotional. He talked to Amna and he said, Amna, I am forced to leave for this business trip. But I love you and I miss you. And believe me, when I will come back, I would love to see your face when I will enter my house. Amna promised, okay, you will come. So I will stay near the outer door of the house. When you open the door, you will meet. Husband and wife, they had an agreement with each other. Abdullah left. Amna had tears in her eyes, and she sent husband for the business trip. Abdullah departed from Makkah Mukarramah, Syria. Now the business trip was over. The group of people, they were coming back from Syria to Makkah Mukarramah. In the way, Abdullah got fever. He became sick. And because there was no medication available, and there was no physician, so Abdullah came weak and weak and weak every single day. When they reached Medina, because Medina was in way, so Abdullah became very weak, very weak. So the in-laws, they were in Medina, they saw Abdullah and saw that he is sick and he has a lot of fever and he has lost a lot of weight. So they were surprised. They said, do not travel anymore, stay here and we will take care of your medication and your food and everything. And when you recover, then you can go back after some time. So the whole group of people came back to Makkah Mukarramah, and the news spread in Makkah Mukarramah that the businessmen are coming back. Amna was very happy, was already happy. She was waiting for Abdullah. And the day when the businessmen they reached Makkah Mukarramah, Amna, he took a bath, wore very good clothes, and stayed near the outer door of the house. And she was waiting that when her husband stayed in the house, he will be able to see his wife sitting closer to the door. But she waited for the whole day, but did not knock the door and did not enter. So then she was really very worried. What happened with Abdullah? Abdullah, why did not come? Why did not come? So when people, they were asked, so they said that Abdullah has not come to Makkah Mukarramah. He stayed in Medina because he was sick. Now some relative of Abdullah went to Medina Tayyiba to bring him back. So before they came back, Abdullah, he was so sick that he died. So when he died, our Rasulullah, he became orphan before his birth in this world. Now, what a difficult moment for the wife who was 16 year old or 17. She was pregnant. She was expecting a baby. And her husband died. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now, the only wife can understand through what difficult emotional stresses she has to go through when husband dies in this young age. Amna was very, very, very sad on the death of her husband. She cried, 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 but nothing could be done. She was only expecting. Now, Amna admitted that when she was pregnant, she saw few abnormal things in his life. Number one, when she used to go out in the street, she used to feel that the branches of the tree used to lean towards him. So from wherever she used to pass by, so the branches of the trees, they used to lean towards him. Amna could not understand why these trees, they move towards me when I pass by. Then second thing is that when she used to come out of house, there was always a cloud on the sky who used to give her shadow, and she had not to walk in the sun. Because in Makkah Mukarramah, The temperature in summer is almost 50 degrees centigrade. So it is very difficult for a person to come out of the house and walk in the sun without any shadow. But Amna felt that whenever I go out for any work, there is always a cloud on my head which provides me shadow. So this was the second thing. Then number three, she used to feel that when she used to go to the well of Zamzam to get water, then the level of the water used to become very high. So near the bank of the well, that Amna could get the water just with his bucket. Water was almost near the ground surface. And other women and girls, they used to request Amna, "Amna, please don't go away. When you will go away, water will again go down. Please stay here so that we should be able to get water easily." And Amna was always surprised, "Why it happens with me?" So then she thought that the baby who is in her womb, he must be a very sacred baby, a very great personality, and due to his blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing him some good signs. Now, Amna was expecting, so a red star appeared on the sky. Now, when a red star appeared on the sky, then the Jewish community in Medina Tayyiba, they were very surprised, because they had read in their book, holy book, that when the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be born, so before his birth, a red star will appear on the sky. So the Jews were expecting that the birth of the last prophet is nearby. So they inquired from the Jewish families, "Is there any girl who is expecting and she can deliver a baby within a month?" But no one was in that time of pregnancy. Then they inquired from Makkah Mukarrama, "Is there any woman who can deliver a baby in this time?" So they were told that yes, there is a woman, but she is from the tribe of Quraysh, and her name is Amna, and she is expecting, and she will deliver the baby in this time period. So the Jews, they felt jealous with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was not from the descendants of Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. He was from Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Amna narrated that when it was the delivery day, delivery time of the baby, "At that time I had no money to spend for my candles to make arrangement of light. So I passed that night without any light source. There was complete darkness in my house because my husband had died, so there was no one to spend money and I had nothing to spend. So I spent my time without any light source, and at the time of dawn, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born." Amna narrated that when the baby was born, it was a birth which was very easy birth. There was no complication, there was no difficulty, there were not much pains. Everything went very smooth, so the baby was born. She said, "When I put the baby on the bed, then the baby made a sajda. So I was very happy that my son, he was born and he was placed on the bed and he made sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when I used to see the face of my son, it was so beautiful, so glowing face. that I used to feel very great. I used to feel very happy. Oh, my son is so beautiful. So then Abdul Muttalib, he came and he took the son and took him towards Baytullah. So everyone who saw this baby was very happy. When Abdul Muttalib came back, he said, Amina, do you know I am going to name this baby Muhammad? Muhammad was a new word. No one had ever kept this name for the baby. So Amina asked Abdul Muttalib, why you are suggesting the name of Muhammad? He said, because everyone who looked at this baby, he appreciated the baby a lot. Oh, so beautiful, so cute, so lovely baby. So because he has been appreciated by the people, so I am going to name him Muhammad. Muhammad means a personality who has been appreciated the most in the world. So then Abdul Muttalib said, okay, I will name him Ahmad also. Why you will name him Ahmad? He said, because my baby will appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot in this world. And it was true that Rasulullah, when he became a prophet, so he told the human beings that we should submit to Allah, we should believe in Allah, He is our creator and He is our Rabb. And we should praise our Lord. So the person who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most in this world was our beloved prophet and his name was Ahmad. So Muhammad and Ahmad both were very suitable names which were given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now at that time when babies were born in the cities, then the women from the suburban areas used to come to cities and take the babies with them and to bring them up in their houses in a very hygienically clear place and bring them back after some years so that they could get the reward from the parents. 10 women from Taif area, they came to Makkah Mukarrama to take the babies. The 9 women, they took the babies of the rich families and they were very happy. And Halima, she came at the end, she at the last, because the animal was very weak. And she had no choice to take someone else. She could only take a little boy, a little infant whose name was Muhammad. But he was an orphan. So Halima, she thought in her mind, let me see the face of the baby, how he looks like. So the baby was sleeping and was covered with a sheet of cloth. When she took away the sheet of cloth, then the baby, he opened his eyes and he smiled. Halima narrated that the smile of the baby was so attractive, so beautiful, that I thought in my mind, even if his parents will not give me much more money to bring up the baby, but still I will see this beautiful face of baby and I will see the smile of this baby, and these are the best return which I will get. So she took this baby and came back to her husband. Husband said that Halima, I feel that the baby we have taken has lot of barakah in him. So then they sat down on their camel and came back to Taif, to their place. Halima narrated that when I reached my home, I found that all the goats who were in my house, they had lot of milk in their breasts. So my husband said, bring me some pot so that I should take out the milk from these goats. So all the pots in the house, they were filled with milk. So much milk, we have never expected that our goats will give us so much milk. So my husband again said, looks like that this baby which we have brought in our house has lot of barakat, and due to the barakat of this baby, our goats are giving so much amount of milk. So we were very happy. Halima took care of Rasulullah ﷺ, and the baby grew up in that environment, a clean environment, and the baby was very healthy. Now one day, Halima found that her daughter from her husband, her name was Shima, and she was around 15 years of age, and she used to take the goats for grazing in the meadow. But that day, Shima did not go out, and the goats, they were hungry, thirsty, and they were still at home. So the mother, when she saw this, she was surprised, and she said, Shima, why you have not taken the goats toward the meadow? These are hungry and they are in stress. So please take the goats for grazing. Shima replied that, oh my mom, I am alone and the goats are too many and I have to run behind them the whole day long. And it's very hot outside. So I cannot go out. I feel dehydration. I cannot go out. I need some help. So the mother said, Shima, who is going to help you? I am your mother. I am also very elderly. And your father is also an elderly person. And he also cannot help you. So you have to go and make these goats graze in the meadow. Then Shima suggested, okay, mom, I will go and take the goats with me, but please send my brother Muhammad with me. Then Shima replied, no, mom, one day I took my brother Muhammad with me, and that day it was very easy for me to take care of the goats. The mother could not understand. She said, how you manage the goats? She replied that I took my brother with me and that day I saw three new specific things. Number one, the whole day there was a piece of cloud on the sky and I had to always remain in the shadow. I never walked in the sun. So this was a big comfort by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was provided to me due to the blessing of my brother. And second thing is that there was a scholar, he was passing by, he saw my brother and he came back and he kissed my brother and he said that, who is this? I said, he is my brother. He said, I can see him. And I can feel that in the coming time, he will be a very big personality. He will be a renowned personality of the whole world. So mom, when I listened these words from him, I felt very happy. And number three, mom, when I took my brother with my goats, then the goats reached in the area and they started grazing in the ground. And within few minutes, the goats, they grazed and they took their full food and they came and sat down near me and then rest of the time, I was watching the face of my beloved brother and all the goats, they were also watching the face of my brother. So in this way, I did not have to exhaust myself throughout the day. It was very happy. So please send my brother with me. So Rasulullah was so beautiful that the human being used to see him, and even the animal, they used to see him and they used to love him. Now after 4 years, Halima brought the son to his mother, Amina, Bibi Amina. Amina was very happy. Then one day Amina thought in her mind that I should take my son towards my parents so they should also see my son and then I will bring him back. So she took her son and came from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina to her family. All the family members, they saw the son, the baby was so beautiful and the son was so charming face that everyone who looked at him, he used to love him. This is called love in first glance. So everyone who used to put a glance on the face of this baby, he used to love him. So this baby became the most loved baby of the family. Everyone who used to see him, he used to love him. So men and women, and young and elderly, everyone used to love this baby. When Amna brought her in Medina Munawwara, she stayed there with her parents. Then one day she decided that I have to go to see the grave of my husband. So she took her son with her and she came to the grave of Hazrat Abdullah. Rasulullah ﷺ narrated that I went to see the grave of my father with my mother. I was small at the time and I could not exactly know what's going on. But the few things which I noticed is that when my mother went there, she stood near the grave and she was crying. Tears were coming out of her eyes. Now what she was thinking, I don't know. But because I saw my mom crying and I had lot of love of my mom in my heart, so I also started crying. So me and my mother both cried near the grave of my late father. If we imagine in our mind that why Amna was crying, so my thinking is that Amna might be talking to her late husband in her imagination and were used to sing that, oh my husband, you died and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a child and this child is so beautiful, exactly handsome like you. If you could see this son, you could have been very happy, but you are not here, so I have brought my son on your grave. Then, when Amina stayed there for a few months, she decided that, okay, I should go back to Makkah Mukarrama. So she took one of her maid servant and started traveling from Medina to Makkah. But there is a place in between two holy cities which is called Abwa. When they reached there, then the mother of Rasulullah ﷺ, she also died. Now the maid servant, she was very worried that I have a baby, how I will travel with this baby when the mother died. So Bibi Amna, she was buried in Abwa and this small baby had to travel with the maid servant without her mom. Now look at this. What a strange situation. The father had died before the birth of Rasulullah ﷺ. And now, if the mother is there, then the mother also died and the child has still to travel to Makkah Mukarrama with the maid servant. So she traveled from that place to Makkah Mukarrama until she reached Makkah Mukarrama and gave the baby to the grandfather Abdul Muttalib. Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, he took care of the baby, and the baby was very attached to his grandfather. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the grandfather also died after a few months. So Rasulullah, he mentioned this year and named it Amul Huzn, the year of sadness, that the mother died and the grandfather died. So two close personality, they died in the same year. So this was Amul Huzn for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then stayed with his uncle Abu Talib in Makkah Mukarrama. Then in the age of 40, our beloved Prophet ﷺ announced that he saw Jibreel on the mountain of Nur, Jabal Nur, in the cave of Hira. And he was sent a message by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is a prophet. Then he spent his 23 years of life, 13 years in Makkah Mukarrama and 10 years in Madina Tayyiba. But after 23 years of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a conqueror of the hearts of the people who were living in Makkah Mukarrama. So beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Madina Tayyiba to Makkah Mukarrama again. Then after Makkah Mukarrama, then there was the war of Jang-e-Hunain. In the war of Hunain, lot of people, they were captured by the Muslims, and lot of animals, camels and goats, almost 12,000 goats and camels, they were also captured by the Mu'min. Now Rasulullah wanted to distribute these camels and goats to various people. Then one person came and said that there is a woman and she says that I want to talk to your prophet because I am his sister. In the beginning Rasulullah said that I have no sister, I am the only son of my father Hazrat Abdullah. But when that woman came, then she said, look, I am your sister, I am the son, I am the daughter of Halima Sadia, and Halima Sadia was your mother. She used to feed you her milk. Then Rasulullah recalled it, and then he said, okay, if you are my sister, then you can stay with me. And if you want to go back, then I can make you free and you are allowed to go back to your home. Then she said, I want to go back and I don't want to go back alone because the people of my tribe, they will say that look at this woman, she became free alone and she did not care for others. So Rasulullah said, okay, all the people of your tribe who are captured, they will also be freed and you can go with all the people of your tribe back toward your place. Then Shima, she said that, oh my brother Muhammad, should I tell you one thing? Rasulullah said, okay, tell me. She said that when you were small, then I used to take you in my arms and I used to sing a lullaby. I sing a song for you. And what was that song? She said, are you to sing a song? Rabbana abqi lana Muhammada. O our Lord, please keep Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam clean and give him respect in this world. Then she said that I never knew that a time will come when you will be such a successful personality that you will enter into Makkah as a winner, and now you are the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alam yajitka yateeman fa'awa, that, O my beloved Prophet, I found you orphan and I gave you a place to stay. So Rasulullah was orphan from the beginning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a place to stay in Makkah Mukarramah, then in Medina Munawwara, then after a few years again he came back to Makkah Mukarramah. So this was the birth story of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and today is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, and we are very happy, we are very happy. Now one point to make you clear is that people celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, we are Muslims, we don't have the habit of celebrating the birthdays. Normally the Christians, they celebrate the birthdays, and Muslims, they do not. But yes, at the same time, we are really very happy because it is the birthday of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how to show our happiness? There are two ways. Let me give an example. If the guests are expected in some house, then all the elders and the younger of that house, they are happy. And they celebrate that guests are coming. The elders, they make good food and arrange for good meetings. They sit down with the guest, talk to him, and they show their happiness like this. This is also a way of showing happiness. And the children, because they are minors, so they also show their happiness. What they do? They jump and they run and they play with each other and they are very happy. Why? Guest is coming, good food will be made, and we will be able to eat good food. So they are always happy that the guests are coming and they will get good food. So they show their happiness on that. So this is again a way of showing happiness. So similarly in this ummah, there is a group of ulama who are called Akabir Ulama-e Deoband. So they celebrate the birth of Rasulullah like elders. They carry out the majalis of seerat. They talk on the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the teachings of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that people should listen and they should follow the sunnah of beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is way of showing happiness. This is called the elders' way of showing happiness. And there is another way of showing happiness. So some people, they put lighting on the masjid and then they come out of their houses on their cars, on their camels, on their foot, and then they go in a procession in the market from one point of the city to the other point. And in this procession, they sing different verses and they show their happiness. It is also a way of showing their happiness, but it is not according to Sunnah, number one. And number two, this is a way of showing happiness, is a way of showing happiness just like small kids who are immature. So this is immature way of showing happiness on the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People call it Eid Milad al-Nabi. So everyone should be happy. A person who is not happy, he is not a Muslim. Every Muslim has to love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because without the love of Rasulullah we cannot be a mu'min. So may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to show our love of Rasulullah according to the Sunnah way and to follow the Sunnah of beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept us as a follower of beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And on the Day of Judgment, may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to get the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before making dua, let us make muraqabah a few minutes. Please close down your eyes. Feel that your heart is connected to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and some nur is coming from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala entering in your heart, and your heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Make dua please. Subhana rabbiyal al-wahhab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wasallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. اے مالک ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین بندے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، خطاؤں سے درگزر فرما، عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما، اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، دلوں کو صاف فرما، سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما، اپنے عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما، اللہ ہمیں اپنے پیارے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما، ان کی ایک ایک سنت پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، ان کے بتائی ہوئی تعلیمات کے مطابق زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے رب کریم، ہمیں اپنے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سنتوں کے مطابق زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم، تب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم. صلی اللہ تعالی علی حبیبہ سیدنا محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.